This morning I want to talk to you or ask a question about church, which you probably don't ask very much. Maybe you've never asked that question, and quite frankly, but this might have been a good time to ask it because you probably woke up this morning and said, oh, it's cold out. I'd really just like to roll over and stay under the blankets and do that sort of thing. So this answer that you come up with is this question. Likely you might say, well, it's tradition. That's the way it's always been done. And that question is, why preaching is so prominent in our corporate worship? If we think about it, like half the time we spend together in a Sunday morning is to hear from the Word of God. And I want to address that question this morning as we enter a new year, because you may have been thinking about that or reevaluating the time you spend in church on Sunday morning. In other words, maybe you're asking the question, is church attendance worth it? Is it really worth it? I come here and half the pews are empty. Could there be a better investment of my time on a Sunday morning instead of going to church and singing a couple songs and saying a prayer and hearing the preacher drone on about some religious topic that you don't really care about? Perhaps you can relate to what Mark Twain, as he humorously described church through the eyes of Tom Sawyer. Remember Tom Sawyer, right? And he wrote this. He said, "The minister gave out his text and droned on monotonously through an argument that was so prosy that many ahead began to nod off." And yet it was an argument that dealt with limitless fire and brimstone, and it thinned out the predestined elect down to a company that was so small that they were wondering if there was anybody left to be saved. Nearly half the time that we spend in church on a Sunday morning is the pastor up here preaching the Word of God. And this is really, when you think about it, a very remarkable proportion, and it really demands some explanation. And I want to share that with you on this beginning of 2024. And I know you folks are really excited about the Lions game today, and I wish the best for the Lions. But hopefully we can just focus on this for just a little bit here. But why should I spend so much time preaching? Especially talking to you about this when, quite frankly, you folks aren't going to seminary. You're not called probably to be a preacher. Maybe you are in the future, some of you young folks. But there are three simple answers. First, you will know better what to do with preaching if you have a biblical understanding of what it is. You should really understand, as you sit here, you know, maybe because of tradition, maybe because of out of obligation, maybe you want to be here, but what do you recognize biblical preaching? Second, will you be able to assess whether you are, in fact, hearing the right kind of preaching and know what it's supposed to be? Will you recognize it? And third, if you know what true preaching is, you will be able to discern and come down the road sometime when I'm, you know, too old to preach anymore, you're going to have to find someone else to preach. Will you find the right person to fill the pulpit? So it's a huge implication for your life and for your family and for the future of the church and all the churches if the people of God know what true biblical preaching is and why it is prominent in corporate worship. Why is preaching so prominent? Well, one is we've got to ask this question before that, and that's, why is the Word of God so prominent in our worship service? That's very important. Because quite frankly, if you go to other churches, you may not even hear the Word of God being read out of the Bible, let alone being expounded by the preacher. Why is this form of presenting the Word of God so prominent? Someone could simply just read the Scriptures for a while or a half an hour, and we could listen without having any preaching. That would certainly make the Word of God prominent. So we could do an academic analysis of certain vocabulary and grammar and historical circumstances in the Bible. But that is not really preaching. Well, let me give you a couple of reasons why preaching is so important. First is that God has chosen to reveal himself through the Word of God. If we look at John chapter 1, verse 1, it says, "In the beginning was the Word." You see, the Word here is, in a sense, Jesus coming to earth and revealing himself to mankind. He didn't come in the beginning with a song. He didn't come with a particularly a sketch or a skit or a drama. He came as the Word. He revealed himself as the Word. This is tremendously important. In the beginning was the Word. The Son of God is the Word of God. He is God's communication to the world. We are in the world. This is God's world. And he chooses to reveal himself through his Word. We'll also look at our text from 2 Timothy chapter 3, 16. It says, all Scripture is God-breathed. So not only did God choose to reveal himself, not only as the Word, but he chose to reveal himself by the Word. This means that God has chosen to speak to us and reveal to us and interpret his deeds in history through the inspiring words of others. That's what Scripture means. Scripture means writings. All the Scripture, all the writings in the Jewish Christian canon that says they are inspired, they are God-breathed. As 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 21 says, no prophecy was ever made by an act of human will, but men were moved by the Holy Spirit, spoken from God. The Scriptures of the Old and New Testament are God's revelation of himself again to us. God is the initiator, initiates his revelation to us through the Word. So the first two answers as to why the Word is so prominent in worship is that God revealed himself as the Word, and he did it by the Word and through the Word. But we can say even more than that. We can say this, that worship, when we come here together, we are here. The goal is to worship God, isn't it? And worship is a response to God's work. And the Word of God is the means by which God works in the world. Did you ever think about that? That God speaks and things are done according to God's will. For example, if we even look in the New Testament, we see things like the seas being calmed by Jesus simply speaking. Sins were forgiven because Jesus said, your sins are forgiven. The blind received their sight because Jesus said, receive your sight. And the dead was raised, and God works by means of his Word. But not only did it happen in the past, it's happening right now. God goes on working by his Word right now. Consider the text from 2 Timothy chapter 3, 16. Again, all Scriptures God-breathed is useful for what? Teaching and rebuking and correcting and training in righteousness so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped to do every good work, for every good work. In other words, the way God brings about good works in his people and of his people and through his people is by his Word. This is why Jesus said that all men will see your good works. They will give glory to the Father who is in heaven. God works by his Word to do his works through his people in this world. Are you beginning to see the importance of the Word of God? Not only in our Sunday morning worship, but throughout our lives. It is a source of life for us. You see this again and again in the Bible. For example, Psalm chapter 1, verse 3. The psalmist says, the man who meditates on the Word of God day and night, what is he like? He is like the tree planted by the streams of water, which yields fruit in its season. Its leaf does not wither. And whatever he does, he prospers. So the Word brings fruit and makes a person prosper. Not just prosper in this world, but prosper according to the will of God. That's true prosperity, to be in the will of God, to do the will of God. Consider what it says in continuing on with the works of God through the Word of God. Consider Hebrews chapter 4, where it says, the Word of God is living and active and sharper than a double-edged sword. It penetrates even to the dividing of the soul. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart of man. The Word of God The Word is God's agent in the great work of conviction and judgment. That's another reason why for us men, when we get together on Wednesday night and we study the Word of God, we don't know, we don't quite, you know, we're all coming from different places in our lives. And maybe there's something that night that God is going to speak directly to one of us. And we're going to be convicted, and we're going to be transformed by the Word of God working in our lives. Or recall John chapter 17, verse 17. The great, sanctify them in the truth. Your word is the truth. That's what Jesus was praying. That's a prayer of Jesus to his Father in heaven. The great work of sanctification. The great work of transformation. The great work of us becoming more holy and being in the nature of Christ. Being in the character of Christ. It's done by the Word of God. So if you look at your life and you wonder to yourself, boy, I just don't feel like I'm being transformed. I'm not seeing any change in my life. I'm still battling with the same stuff. Maybe ask yourself, is the Word of God have any priority in your life? Because if not, then you shouldn't be surprised by no growth. And we could go on. Our list could go on. It's a long list. But the point is that we come here to worship. And worship is about knowing and admiring and celebrating the works of God in our lives, in our neighbor's lives, and those you know well and those you may not know so well, yet you see God working in their lives. Therefore, that's why the Word of God is prominent in our worship service. Let me give you another reason why the Word is so prominent in worship. Worship depends utterly on a spiritual miracle of the new birth. In other words, if we are not born of the Word, if we're not born of the Spirit, then we cannot worship. We don't have the ability to worship. And so worship depends upon a spiritual miracle, a miracle of new birth. And when we come together on Sundays, it's a reawakening of our faith. Let's put it this way. Here's a good analogy. We kind of fall asleep during the week. And so when we come together on Sunday, we reawaken ourselves to the purpose of life itself, to honoring and worshiping our God. And we do that through the Word of God, because new birth is worked out by God in us through God's Word. So faith comes from hearing, and hearing by the Word of Christ. Romans chapter 10, verse 17. Not just the first time, but every time we come together. I love John Dybo always says, he goes, how many times did you get saved this Sunday? We chuckle about that all the time. But it's in a sense true. Theologically, we are not saved every Sunday, but in a sense, our soul is reawakened to the wonders of God. And then we are moved and compelled to live out our faith in a greater, more serious way. And when I say serious, I don't necessarily mean we have to be all sober about life. No, we can have joy in life. And if we truly understand and embrace the Word of God, we will have joy in life. So come to church. What I'm saying is, come to church, hear the Word, have your faith reawakened. I think that's an important message for us as we enter 2024. Because God reveals himself as the Word and by the Word. Because without the Word of God, guess what? There is no life. There is no faith. There is no work. There is no revelation. There is no worship. The Word of God to us, to Christians, is worship is like the air we breathe. We have to have it. I was just speaking to my friend Jerry over at the pastry shop. You know, he had to go into the hospital for 3 days because he couldn't breathe. If you're not able to breathe, you don't have life. And if you don't have the Word of God. Now the second question is, granted that the Word of God should be so prominent in worship, but why the preaching? Why not just show a video or something? Why can't I just, you know, multimedia is all the rage right now, right? Flash up. Oh, I mean, I'll tell you what. I just get a headache watching commercials sometimes because it's nonsensical. They just shoot images at you. That's all they do. It's not, they don't want you to figure out what they're trying to sell. They just want to blast all these images at you until you're so overwhelmed you have to go buy it, okay? You succumb to it or something. I don't know what it is. It's all, they used to call it subliminal advertising. I don't know what it's called now, but it's just bombardment. And, you know, churches can get into that role of trying to do that too, to shoot images and evoke some sort of emotion in you. And I'm not saying emotion is bad. Emotion is good because we really need two things. We need intellectual understanding, which moves our emotion. Our lives can't be based on emotionalism. It has to be, emotion's good, but it has to come out of our understanding of who God is. And that's why preaching is so important. Because it actually ties these two things together, the intellectual and the emotion. If I just stand up here calmly and coolly and say some things from the Bible, but there's no passion, no emotion behind it, well, that's kind of a dead religion there. That's not any good. But at the same time, I just can't have emotion up here with no truth. Because that's a very serious problem too. But we see from the scriptures there is a precedent for explaining the explaining of scriptures in the public arena, in public worship. And if you go to Nehemiah chapter 8 verse 6, it speaks about how there was certain Levites who helped the people understand the law. The law was read, but then it had to be interpreted to the people. And it says they actually gave the sense so that the people could understand what they were hearing and what was being read. So there was a reading of the law, but there was men appointed and called to give it the sense and to help the people understand. And that really has a lot to say about what public preaching is all about. Even in the New Testament, we see that. Jesus, when he went into the synagogue and he sat down and he read on that Sabbath, and he read from the prophet Isaiah about his own coming, he sat down and gave an interpretation of what they just read. He said, "Today this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." And that was a typical Jewish synagogue situation. Read the word, interpret the word, apply the word. That's really what preaching is all about for us. And we can even look into the book of Acts, where we see the Apostle Paul comes into the synagogue, and after he gets to read on the Sabbath day, went into the synagogue and he sat down, and after reading of the law and the prophets, and the synagogue officials said to them, "Brothers, if you have any word of exhortation for the people, say it." There I see a picture of my job as the preacher. To read the word and to interpret the word and to exhort the people and challenge the people to do the word. So we see this as the essence of worship. Really, the essence of worship, it's the word. The word is central to that. But what is the goal of worship? Really, to understand God. We want to understand God, and we want to delight in God. Really, as God's creation. And so, the preacher's role is to both connect with your brains and with your heart. That's the two things. When we see God, we delight in Him. And God is glorified in that, when his creation delights in him. And we do that both through our entire being, both our understanding intellectually and by our heart. We are moved when we see God, and we, because of that, we celebrate him. And if you don't celebrate him when you see God, quite frankly, you insult God. Because God is so wondrous, so miraculous, so beyond our comprehension. In authentic worship, there's always understanding with the mind. There's always feeling with the heart. I think I mentioned that already. And so preaching is that form. We take the word of God in worship. So Paul says to Timothy, this young preacher, this young man, Paul's been doing it for a long time, but Timothy's the up-and-coming preacher. Preach the word, Paul says. And that means to herald, to announce, to proclaim. It's not simply to teach or explain. Oh, there's definitely a place for that. And I love Lance Swanson and his ability to teach. He's a teacher. And I love to... I'm sorry, Lance, I don't always make it to your Sunday school class. Forgive me for that. I'll try to do better. But the preacher is like the town crier. Maybe he's at the street corner, but maybe he's just in the church. Because, yes, there's people out there, the church, that need to hear the preaching. But obviously, the church people need to hear the preaching. The Christians. And he proclaimed the good news of the king. And he says, "Hear ye, hear ye. Those who swear allegiance to his throne, be it known that he offers you eternal life." That is so important for us to hear. We have been offered eternal life. And those folks out there, the offering still holds for them. But they have to swear allegiance. And we are in the business of helping encourage them to do so. Preaching is a public exaltation over the truth that it brings. It is not disinterested. It is not neutral. It has to be passionate. And so Paul says to Timothy, preach the word. Be prepared in season and out of season. And here are some of the things. To correct and rebuke and encourage, and with great patience and with careful instruction. So in conclusion then, the reason that preaching is so prominent in the worship service. Worship is just not understanding. It's also feeling, putting our emotions in it. It's just not seeing God, it's celebrating God. It's just not a response in our mind, but it's also a response by our heart. Therefore, God has ordained that in the worship service, his word should take on this flavor of corporate worship. It's just not an explanation to the mind, it's just not a stimulation of the heart, but rather it's the word of God come to us. Teaching the mind, reaching the heart, showing the truth of Christ, celebrating the glory of Christ and who he is, expositing the word of God, and exalting in the God who revealed himself to us through the word. It's not a work of man. It's a gift and work of the Holy Spirit. And it is prepared for those who are spiritually prepared to hear it. So now let's pray for one another that we may be people who not only hear it and embrace it, but they want to live it. And in so doing, they worship God. Let's pray. Father, I thank you that you take your word and you take your Holy Spirit and you use a simple man like me to help encourage this body. I pray that I've done that today. I know that I have because you promised to work through me. And because of that, we can glorify your name. We want to glorify your name this week through our lives as we stay upon your word. Amen.